Welcome back to the latest episode of Across the Bifrost. My name's Sung Soo, and before we dive into the episode on Web Warrior affiliation review, we want to thank our Patreons. You can find all the information at patreon.com/acrossthebifrost, but they're kind of responsible for keeping the lights on. They get a small bonus episode every week, and they also pay for all the hosting for our new website, acrossthebifrost.com. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, please jump over to acrossthebifrost.com. It hosts a myriad of content creators, way more than just Pat and I, and the goal is to kind of unify content in a singular location. All right, everyone, thank you so much for bearing with me as we go through the introduction. Without any further ado, here's that intro music and our conversation about Web Warriors.
Somewhere across the Bifrost, way up high, there's a pie.
Welcome back to the latest episode of Across the Bifrost. Today, I will be joined by my co-host Pat Dunford from Across the Pond, and we are going to be talking about Web Warriors, something we're both pretty excited about. Everyone's kind of focused on the new thing, but it's good to come back to them for our affiliation review. Anyway, before we dive into that, though, Pat, how you doing?
I'm doing really well. Thank you, TT. And you're right. It's been a long time since we've done an affiliation review. Thinking back, I think our last one was Black Order, and there was a big gap between Black Order and the others. We've got quite a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah, and we were kind of wishy-washy on Black Order, and then Morgan Reed, of course, does really well with them, so we're not going to worry about that. We're going to focus on Web Warriors today, and I think Web Warriors are in a great position in the meta, and you know, everyone's kind of excited about all the new things, all the shiny things, right? Mutants or Criminal Syndicate, but I think Web Warriors still have a whole lot of juice.
Oh, I love them. I think Web Warriors are incredibly cool. They're incredibly fun. They are right up there as one of my very favorite affiliations to play with. And I think they have a lot of legs if you plan on playing them competitively or just as a really fun casual group. You can't go wrong with Web Warriors, really.
Yeah, I mean, they have three of my favorite characters in a vacuum, right? Between Miles, Gwen, and Venom. Like, I love playing each one of them. They just have so many kind of dynamic options to them. But anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves. So if you haven't caught one of our affiliation reviews yet, because it's been a while, we tend to step back and look at them. We have categories almost, right, Pat?
Yeah, there's several things that collectively combine to form an affiliation. Those things that we've identified are the leader, their leadership, the affiliated characters that you can take in that affiliation, and the tactics cards that work for that affiliation. And it's really important to look at all of these things because an affiliation's strength or options are defined by all of these things together. It's not just about a leadership or just about a particular team tactics card, but all of these categories matter, and different affiliations tend to be strong in some areas and weaker in others.
Yeah, so where do you think we should start with Web Warriors, Pat?
I think we should talk a little bit about their overall kind of style and the way they play. And I'll start us off here. I think one of the things that defines Web Warriors really well is their mobility. The characters in general are very fast. They all have wall crawler, and a lot of them have additional ways to move around the battlefield, which is one of the things that makes them dynamic and fun to play.
No, I think that's a great point. One of the other things I think is important to mention, and I kind of learned this from your Dojo episode on them, because you played them in a crisis event out there in England, is they're very crisis focused, right? This isn't a team. They're the opposite of Black Order almost, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I think the main reason for that is they're resilient, which combines really well with their speed to just make them great on any crisis, right? They can get to a secure and they can stay on it. They can run around with extracts and stay alive. But their damage is just not very good, right? Most of them are rocking like 4 dice, sometimes 5 dice attacks. Almost every attack in the affiliation is physical, which tends to have the highest defenses on the enemy side. So they're one of the teams that has the lowest overall damage output.
Yeah, but again, I've found that to be a very enjoyable way to play, but I think that's a good summation, right? So we have a mobile crisis-focused team. Again, wall crawler lets them pretty much go wherever they want. There's a lot of really fast pieces. They have Miles has some out-of-turn movement shenanigans. They're pretty resilient. Their affiliation kind of builds on that. And generally speaking, they're one of the lower damage teams. Now, obviously, Venom can do a lot of damage, but he's only one of the characters kind of in this suite of things.
Right, and of course, you've got to have at least three if you're playing an affiliation. There's one more thing that I think is worth mentioning with Web Warriors, which is they have a lot of control, by which I mean ways to manipulate the enemy team. And in particular with Web Warriors, they have so many ways to push their opponents around, right? A lot of their models have multiple ways to push or throw the enemy. And this really is what gives them that focus on the crisis that you mentioned already, right? Not only are they fast and tough, but they can move the opponent around and stop them from scoring secures.
Yeah, Web Snare is incredible. So with all those things in mind, where do you think we should start? Should we hit on all the different characters? They did get a new character recently. Or should we talk about the affiliation ability in general?
Yeah, let's. What we normally do is we start with the leader. So let's start with him. Miles Morales, Spider-Man. He is a really awesome leader, in my opinion. A few of the things that make him great, he's very flexible. We mentioned already that Web Warriors are fast. Okay, he only moves medium, but when you add his web line in there, he's moving around the table faster than most characters. He's pretty tough, thanks to spider sense and stealth. And although his damage is not great, the fact that you can amp it up with his web line, and when you get some power, you can start to Venom Blast, he's just always able to be pretty effective at any role. And then one of the things I like most about him is he's got this kind of flexible, effective package, but he's cheap. He only costs 3 threat, and cheap leaders in particular are awesome because they give you so much freedom in how you build the rest of your squad.
Yeah, I've really, really enjoyed him. I think he's fantastic for splashing into other affiliations, but at the same time, he does make a very compelling leader. And kind of getting off going down a rabbit hole here, because he's great at splashing, I think Web Warriors makes for a pretty good dual affiliation roster, but we can cover that a little bit later. I think one of the issues I've had with Miles, and one of the reasons I tried him so much in regular Avengers, is in the beginning of the game, I feel like he often struggles to get rolling. I feel like kind of in the mid game, he kind of comes into his own and really can sustain his shenanigans, for lack of a better word. But early, it's like, well, do I want to interact with something? That means I'm not web swinging until pretty later on, or I'm trying to build power off a 4-dice attack. He tends to have some issues with power for me.
Yeah, you're right. That is a big problem that he has. The fact that his main builder is just this 4-dice attack. You need to spend power to turn it into 6-dice. He's often not doing a lot for the opening turns, and especially if he needs to pick up an extract. And like we said, Web Warriors are a crisis-focused team. You'd want to be picking up extracts. If he's doing that, then his second turn is likely to be fairly uneventful as well.
Yeah, I can't agree with that more. And stealth, while a great ability, sometimes I'd love them to hit him with Hawkeye or hit him with some long-range shot in the early games just to give me 1 or 2 points extra power, right? But unfortunately, sometimes that's just not an option for him. But anyway, that's just a small negative on Miles. I mean, I literally just... tried to spin stealth as a negative superpower instead of being one of the strongest in the games. I really like Miles Morales. I think he's a fantastic leader. I really like the flexibility he brings. And I really like how cheap your core your core Web Warriors can be because he comes in at that 3 threat value.
Yeah, he's just great. I think it's also worth mentioning Venom Blast is powerful and unique. And being able to strip away opposing extracts from enemy characters is really valuable because it lets you play into this game plan of not trying to necessarily kill your opposing targets, but just trying to score enough points to win. And he does that so well. One of the things that I think demonstrates his value is the fact he is one of the few leaders in the game who you will regularly see taken in other affiliations, right? You already mentioned that you like to take him in other teams. I think it's a good sign for a leader if they are taken outside of their own affiliation, because obviously they make their affiliation strong, but it's a clear like stamp of quality if they're taken in other groups as well.
Yeah, I mean, or him, Thor, and Black Panther to varying degrees, right, are the ones that we see. And I think it's a great nod, like you said, to see him in all, I guess, Green Goblin a little bit, the more you think about it. But anyway, rabbit hole. I think it's a fantastic reinforcement that he's a really solid character as well.
Yeah, so I think fair to say we both rate Miles Morales pretty highly.
I don't think he's at the very top tier, but he's knocking right at the door for me. He's an extremely powerful character. Yeah, right. He might be in the top tier.
Yeah. So moving on now to his leadership, the second of the 4 categories we look at. I think this leadership is really cool. Before talking about how good it is, I rate it as my favorite leadership in the game purely from a flavor point of view. I love great responsibility. I love that what it invokes, right? I love the fact that your team are trying really hard to stay alive, and they try even harder to do their best when something is on the line and when they are trying to achieve their objective. I just think it's really cool.
It is very fluffy, and I can't tell you how many times you hear the "with great power comes great responsibility" quote as I'm playing against or with spider people. But yeah, it's a very solid ability. It does have two distinct powers to it, which I think people get confused a lot. Do you want to run them through that, Pat?
Yeah, so the first is that your characters get to re-roll one of their defense dice. Note, it doesn't let you re-roll dodge dice. This is something that comes up a lot, especially because you have spider sense in affiliation, which does let you re-roll dodges. And then the second part of it is any character that is contesting or holding an objective can re-roll their failures, so their skull results. But importantly here, they just get the option to re-roll them if they have a source of re-rolls. They don't just get to re-roll every single skull they roll. So an example is Miles has spider sense. Spider sense lets him re-roll two defense or dodge dice. So with great responsibility, he can re-roll those skulls if he meets the criteria by being near an objective. But he can't just re-roll every skull. And it's especially important because actually Web Warriors, the affiliated characters, don't have that many ways to re-roll. And you tend to only tap into this benefit a lot if you're taking specific unaffiliated characters that do have a lot of rerolls.
Yeah, I think it's really powerful. It's very flavorful. It's just a good ability. It's just a good, solid, like, quality of life ability is kind of where it's ranked for me.
Yeah, I think it's what is defining the Web Warriors as being a resilient team, right? Because the characters themselves have mixed levels of resilience. On one end, you've got, like, Ghost Spider, who's pretty fragile. And on the other end, the characters get pretty tough. Venom is pretty tough. Spider Sense is pretty good, and Daredevil has Radar Sense. But when you throw in the reroll on top of all that, then all of the characters just kind of level up and get noticeably more resilient. And having that across your whole team obviously means that you can rely on taking less damage over the course of a game.
Yeah, and then the after the credit scenes, which is something we do for patrons, we'll kind of go into non-affiliated characters that make really good use out of this, as well as just generally fit with the Web Warriors. But again, that's in the after the credit scenes, which will be just a short 15 to 20 minute episode. So is there anything else about Miles Morales we need to cover, Pat?
No, I think he's really good. I think his leadership is just always useful. And as a character, he's really flexible. So I suppose one thing I would say is I think he is a really easy baseline for your team to start with, where he isn't forcing you in a particular direction. He's always going to be helpful, and you have a lot of freedom then to build your squad out from there.
Yeah, he never feels bad to take, I think is a great thing, right? You're always going to happy to include him, right? He's a welcome leader.
Yes, for sure. So let's move on now then to the other characters. First up, the other Spider-Man, Peter Parker from the core set. TT, what do you make of this guy?
So he has been the subject of more like internet hate than I think any other character in MCP. I don't think we need to deliberate through that. But obviously he came out in the core set. He's a little higher in threat than Miles. He's coming in that fourth threat value instead of three. But he does have some additional superpowers and things to go over that. And Pat and I did a review on him kind of ages ago. But in his core, right, he's very mobile. But he does, as people point out, have he's a bit low on the damage output, right?
Yeah. He, in a lot of ways, I think, exemplifies the strengths and the weaknesses of the Web Warriors. He's super mobile. He's got great control. But his damage for his cost is one of the worst in the game. And he has trouble generating power because of that. His resilience, I don't know, is a bit hit or miss. Spider Sense plus Great Responsibility is really good for re-rolling dice, but having only three dice space and five hit points on either side is pretty bad for a four threat character. So how good is his defense overall? Well, it's kind of fine, but he is not the toughest character available to Web Warriors. And in fact, Web Warriors now have three four cost affiliated characters, and he is probably the most fragile of those three.
Yeah, I mean, he is as durable as Miles, right? But he's a full point more. So I don't consider him durable, so to speak. He can be spiky, right? Like you said, with the way Spider Sense works and with the way Great Responsibility works, there are attacks which he will just blank out completely and it'll feel great. But in general, like, I don't anticipate him to stand up to any of the kind of angry beaters of the MCP world.
Yeah, and in fact, Miles has stealth, right? Which is another way of helping him avoid attacks, and Spider-Man doesn't. So I think Spider-Man is really good as a flexible choice. I like the massive amounts of control he can exert, right? He's got a wild push on his impact webbing. He's got a throw. He's got webline for another push. And you can do some really nuts things when you get to do multiple of those in a single turn. You know, in theory, he can push two people with his attacks, pull a bunch more with webline, and do a throw. And he can do huge amounts of movement, more than almost any other character in the game when he shines. But he has to get to that point with power generation, and that can be awkward.
Yeah, for me, he's been a very home run character. There are games when he feels phenomenal, and there are games when he feels bleh. And some of that might just be me using him wrong. But in general, for me, he's one of my least favorite web warriors. When you say he's a great versatile character, for me, he's actually, he really only shines in one type of role for me. And that's kind of the, well, maybe two. You could argue that you could use him as a gunner, similar to the way people use Black Panther or people use Black Widow. My issue there is, right, Black Widow is half the cost and Black Panther is way more durable. I guess the advantage is he is web crawler. But for me, he's just like a control piece. He wants the midline. He doesn't want to be by himself. He needs a little bit of support. But like you said, once he gets rolling, you have the push, you have stun, you throw characters or terrain, I think, and you can pull people with webline. So I kind of pigeonhole him into this soft control role.
Yeah. One of the things that I think is a little bit awkward with Spider-Man is he feels a bit like a combination of Miles and Ghost Spider, in the sense that he and Miles have the only energy attacks in the affiliation, and they're both spenders. He and Miles have very similar defensive stats, as we mentioned. He and Ghost Spider both have impact webbing, webline. So he kind of, he's like the premium version of these two characters, where he kind of does a bit of both at a bit of a higher level. But those two characters are so efficient that you kind of always want to take them in Web Warriors. So he is kind of like an extra, more of the same. And then the question is, do you want more of the same in your team? I think sometimes you do, but maybe other times you'd rather have some diversity in what you're taking.
Yeah, and to be clear, like, even though I'm a little down on him, there are times when I'll take Miles, Ghost Spider, and Peter Parker as my core. If that's the game plan I'm looking for, if that's the crisis that looks like it's going to come down to the table, a lot depends on my opponent's kind of roster as I see them going through, because obviously Peter Parker does better against like size two characters. If I'm going to see a lot of larger characters, he kind of struggles a little bit. So he definitely has a place. I know it sounds like I'm being pretty negative on him. He's just not as exceptional as kind of the other characters he's slotted up against in this affiliation, which is a great, you know, first world problem to have.
Yeah. And I think actually it's maybe a bit unfair of me to compare him to Miles and Gwen, because when you're building your rosters, you need to have three characters, and those are the cheapest two. So they're likely to be in your, at least your 10 character squads, even if they don't make it onto the table. But I think the real competition is between him and the two other four cost affiliated characters. And they all do quite different things. And Spider-Man is certainly the one who is focused on controlling the enemy team the most and being the fastest of those.
Yeah, so I think that's enough on Peter Parker. Are we ready to jump over to Ghost Spider, who, as Pat said, is the other three threat character?
I love Ghost Spider. She is so cool. She is probably my favorite three threat character in the game. I include her in almost all my rosters. She's become my pet character, whether I'm playing Web Warriors or not. I just love her. And what I like about her, I like her speed, right? Long move, wall crawler. I like her range, the fact she's got impact webbing, webline, and lifesaver that are all range four. And those two things combine to mean she can always go somewhere on the table and be effective. And the control that she exerts with those abilities is really strong.
Yeah, she's amazing. I've loved her in Avengers. That one power webline once per turn is incredible. Or lifesaver, excuse me, and webline.
Yeah, both one power.
Incredible. She's so bouncy. The long moving wall crawler is incredible. Spider technique is just a brick of text, but it's all relevant text. Like, nothing that's in there feels bad. Like, I love Gwen Stacy. The one thing I want to warn people about is she is not nearly as durable as the previous two web warriors we mentioned. And if you treat her like one of them, she might get dazed kind of unexpectedly.
Yes. She is the exception to the resilience rule in Web Warriors, right? The four other characters are all pretty tough. and then she is not. And you've got to keep that in mind. But because she can stay quite, because she's fast and she's got long range, she can, in theory, stay out of trouble a lot of the time. You mentioned spider technique. Spider technique is amazing. It's really interesting that she is a character who can kind of turn on a dime from being a long range control character to being a close range beat face character. Where if you just end your turn with your character within range two of her and she's got a bit of power, she can quite easily throw like a six dice followed by a seven dice attack at you, which is a lot of damage for three threat.
Yeah, she's incredible surprise. She's incredibly surprising is what I'll say. Her mobility also can be nuts too, right? She needs a movement. What, tactical analysis doesn't work on her? Was bow work?
There's an increasingly large number of ways that you can trigger the move so that, because the dream with spider technique, right, is you do some sort of move in your activation before you make spider technique, and then each spider technique does the attack plus the move, and the second one, if it's on the same target, gets more damage. So you can like move, attack a target, move, attack a target, move, and kind of get five actions. That's the dream. And when she first came out, I think the only way to do that was if you have MODOK in your team with aim lackeys. But as time has gone on, and if you got thrown by Hulk with Gamma Launch. But so you needed like a five or six cost unaffiliated character. But as time has gone on, more cards have come out that help you. And obviously we can expect over time there'll be more rays unlocked, right? And the big one for me is climbing gear, because that's three cost and you can just put it in your squad. And then if Gwen has three power, you can use climbing gear and trigger that chain anytime you want.
Yeah, she's just a really, again, really solid character. And what Pat and I are talking about, is if you get her a move during her activation, when she makes a spider technique, she can advance long afterwards, which is just insane, right? Because once she has that first one, then she can just make another spider technique. So she's advancing a short and two longs off of a climbing gear. It is important to note, I see some people get confused on this. When it refers to activation, it refers to this activation. So she's not a great all you've got target, as the second activation of all you got is kind of viewed in a vacuum there, just so people are aware. But I she's just such a phenomenal, durable character. And Lifesaver does incredible things. Like, if you thought Miles was a durable three already, like, you being able to pull him, especially combined with stealth, is just so annoying.
Yeah, it's really, really good. And it's really hard to play around in a lot of circumstances. An important rules point that a lot of people miss, you can, when you do a push, it uses the same rules as throws. And a key point here is when you're doing a throw, you ignore the character who is doing the throw. So I can pick up a character and throw it through the character who's doing the throw. I think the idea is you like lift them over your head or something. The point here is pulls work the same way. So when she is pulling someone with Lifesaver, her own model does not block the pull. And so you can have models who are very close to her, but she can still move them away from danger with a lot more freedom than you might expect.
Yeah, she's definitely, she's just a headache for the people to think about. And that's one of the things, I guess, a tip for playing her that I've discovered is like, I almost always want her to have power on her after she's done activating. I very rarely like want a double freestyle beatdown, for example. I normally would rather freestyle with the spider technique. A, it's almost as good, you just don't get a throw. And B, it just gives her that power left over on her for the Lifesaver, which again, just gives your opponent kind of a headache to deal with.
Yeah, I find myself in the early game just using impact webbing a lot. I don't care if I get the world to push often. I'm just doing it for the guaranteed power so that I can be sure to get webline and Lifesaver rolling as soon as possible. One of the things that I think is a really strong play with her is the fact on turn one, if anyone comes into like the center of the table, any enemy, she tends to be able to move long towards them. And then if she's within range four, she can impact webbing and then webline them towards the rest of the spider team, which can be very, very dangerous. And means you have to be quite cagey if you're playing against Ghost Spider.
No, that's great. And I really think that impact webbing is kind of the attack that really makes her go, right? Giving her that range four builder is so phenomenal, right? As much as we just raved about spider technique, her being able to stay back until she chooses to dive in, until people kind of close to her, is super, super important.
Yeah, she's awesome. I think we can't say enough good things about her, right? I rate her as one of the very best characters in the game. And that's one of the reasons why I say, in my opinion, you're probably always taking her with Miles as the base for your spider team. They're both really flexible characters and they come at a really bargain price in terms of threat value.
Yeah, I can't agree more. And really, like, CP10 is just a fantastic value box. A lot of people ask us now, or me nowadays, hey, I'm new to the game. I know you from War Machine. Where do I start? And normally it's like, hey, pick an affiliation, buy them. But like, this is just a really great box. It goes great with the core set. If you just kind of want to expand the core set, both of them are fantastic Avengers. I think they're okay in Cabal.
Ghost Spider's great in Cabal. When, just pulls people into the teeth of your guns.
Yeah. So just like it's just a fantastic box. It also has really relevant cards in the box. So I just wanted to shout that out. It's a fantastic box if you don't have it in your collection.
Agreed. I think it's one of the very best. So speaking of the very best, let's move on to the other affiliated characters. We've got Venom. Venom is an interesting character, right? He's 4 threat and his exception to the rules that we laid out, right? If Ghost Spider's exception was that she is not tough, well, Venom is not fast.
No, it's kind of the exact opposite of fast, right? He's speed slow, but he does have a big-ish base, right? He's on the medium-sized base. So he's slow. He's really slow. But that's one of the reasons that we talked about Web Snare having so much value for people, right? Being able to pull people closer to Venom are phenomenal. And despite him being extremely slow, he just has a slew of relevant powers and attacks.
Yes. Not least of which, right? The fact that his default strike, if you like, is range 3. So he is slower than the rest of the spiders, but he can still dish out good damage reasonably early in the game. And he is your damage dealer because he's got the best attacks. He does the most dice on average across the characters. He applies bleed, but also very critically, he has his symbiote so that he stops the opponent from being able to modify their dice. Which is superb against Web Warriors, but it's also good against lots of other opponents, right? Anyone that's rerolling, anyone that has cover. That comes up all the time.
Yeah, this is a rule that I see you answer on Discord all the time, Pat, and bless your patience, right? This is one of the ways to ignore the always has cover, not cover from just terrain. So Rocket does have cover against Venom. However, he's not able to modify that die, so he doesn't end up with like any benefit from the cover, but this is one of the ways to get around that. And Venom is just a really solid character. He does have some interesting defensive stats, right? With that 4-2-3, a lot of people really take advantage of that 2 energy defense. But again, he's got a reasonable hit point pool on him with 7 and 6. He's just a great character. We've talked about Venom. Yeah, he was one of the first box reviews we did almost a year ago.
Yeah, there's been times where I've rated him as one of the better characters in the game. And I do think he's really good. I don't think he's at that level right now, but I think he's superb. And he is one of my favorite characters to include in Web Warriors. I think he gets an unfair reputation for his 2 energy defense. People say he's too easy to kill, but they ignore the fact that he has 7 stamina, that he has a reroll if he's in Web Warriors, and that he has a way to heal himself with his We Are Venom ability. Like, he's just really hard to deal with. And one of the things I find with Venom is this is true of every character in Marvel Crisis Protocol, but I find it even more so with Venom, is he's a character who will have good games and bad games, and the difference in output in those games is just vast, right? Because sometimes Venom will walk forward slowly, and he'll get shot by energy attacks, and he'll get dazed, and then he'll get KO'd, and you'll be really sad, and he won't have done anything good. And then other times, he'll come forward, and people will attack him, and he won't die, and he'll retaliate against them and do damage and heal himself, and he'll pull people around and he'll throw people. And Venom can often be the MVP in a game where he just does way more than you expect because his suite of powers is really, really strong when he gets going.
Yeah, no, you said a lot there, and then I just kind of mumbled. So I do agree that he is more durable than people give him credit for. I mean, on average, he survives 2 6 dice energy attacks, you know, way more than half the time. Like, he's more durable than people give him credit for with that 2 defense. Just because, like you said, that 7 stamina is a pretty large buffer that he has there. And then in addition, great responsibility helps him a lot there, right?
Yeah.
I know it's only 1 die, but he was only rerolling 1 die anyway. On average, you're going to fail with one of those dies. It just gives you another crack at the apple, so to speak. And I actually think he's a really well-designed character. He's clearly very powerful in some situations. He's very weak in others. There's a good amount of counterplay to him. He does a fantastic job of shunting power when he ends up with a lot of power. I love that he has a bleed and he doesn't have to do damage. I think he's a great character. I understand why you've ranked him super high in the past. I do agree with you that he's not quite there, but he's still very, very, very good. And he's a fantastic meta call right now. If you're going into a lot of Brotherhood matchups, like Venom's pretty solid into the Brotherhood matchup. I would consider tossing him in there.
Yeah,
if you're playing against Brotherhood.
One of the things you mentioned there, TT, I want to reiterate because I think it's really important. You said that he is a character who is really good against some enemies and bad against others. This is really true, right? Because he's so good as a physical brawler up close and he's so vulnerable to energy. And because he's slow, he is a character who rewards you for good deployment. If you put him in a position where he can be relevant on the crisis and matched up against a good enemy, he's going to shine. But if he is out of position or if he's matched up against someone that can punish him, he doesn't have the speed to do much about it. So I think deployment with him is very, very key.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, Pat. He's one of the characters I will almost never deploy first. He's almost always one of my later drops. And that's because I need the flexibility for where is he going to go, right? I can deploy Gwen in the middle of the map early. I can deploy Parker in the middle of the map early. Even Miles and be like, well, you know, they can flex to either flank if they need to. But wherever Venom goes is kind of where he needs to live. That kind of alley he comes down. So definitely hold him on deployment. And then I just want to mention that, like, him and Gwen combined, like, if you have Lifesaver plus Lethal Protector, that's just, like, a really obnoxious puzzle for your opponent to try to jigsaw through there.
Yeah, it's great. The more ways you have to mess with your opponent's targeting, the harder it becomes to play in a way where you can avoid all of them. And I like that he brings that second option in affiliation. And then if you can find someone that has, like, a bodyguard or an intimidating presence on top of that, it can become a real nightmare.
Yeah, and we'll talk about them a little bit more in the ACS. But I love Venom. I think we've covered Venom enough. We have a whole episode devoted to him. He's just a really good character. He's an above-the-curve character. And if you're counting right, that's three above-the-curve characters that we've gone over so far in Web Warriors.
Yeah, a really strong base. So the last Web Warrior, the new addition that was added very recently by Atomic Mass Games, is Daredevil. He's a new character in general, but he had a brief period where he was not a Web Warrior, and now he is. And I think Daredevil's a really interesting choice. So I mentioned Venom was the guy who didn't have the speed and Gwen was the one who doesn't have the survivability. Daredevil is the character who doesn't have the control, right? He's really fast. He's a long mover. He has really good resilience with radar sense, and his damage output is pretty good. But he doesn't have a lot of ways to move the enemy around compared to all of the other web slingers.
I do think it's funny, and I agree with you, Pat. I do think it's funny that Daredevil is our not controlling character when he has a wild stun, a wild push, and a guaranteed push on his card. So just like, he is the least controlling Web Warrior we have, but at the same time, he might be the most controlling piece in a lot of other affiliations.
Yeah, but I think it's worth calling out context there, right? Because like you said, one, you've got to consider who else you're playing with, but also, like, stun is good, but it doesn't move you, right? I wouldn't necessarily say that's the kind of control we're talking about. It doesn't help you score victory points. It's more of an ability that helps attacking teams, and Web Warriors are not very good at attacking.
Yeah, more of a mitigating ability, I guess, than a control, for sure.
Yeah, his push, like you said, it exists, but it pushes toward. It can make it a bit harder for the scenario play, and becomes more of an offensive ability. And it's on a wild, on a four dice attack. It's not the best. And his guaranteed push is on a very expensive close range attack. So it's very good, don't get me wrong, but it's just a little bit harder to use than the other Web Warriors.
And I do want to mention, on Baton Hook, just like Pat said, it's a push towards you. Pat already went over that interaction with Gwen. It's important to remember here for Daredevil as well.
Yeah, yeah. And the fact they're different can be a bit confusing, right? They're similar abilities, but they're not the same. One is away, one's toward. So I really like Daredevil. Radar sense is awesome, right? Being able to count blanks of successes on physical and energy. I think on average, it works out as being kind of similar or slightly better than spider sense. It's a very similar ability and it kind of mirrors what two of the other Web Warriors are doing, but it combos really well with the reroll from Great Responsibility, because when your dice is really likely to succeed, having a reroll is more powerful, right? It's more likely to be an extra success.
Sure. I mean, you're less likely to use the reroll, but I understand where you're going.
Yeah, but it's only one reroll, right? Like, it's pretty.
No, I agree.
You're rolling three dice. It's pretty unlikely they all succeed. And if they do, that's great. You've got what you want. You'd be happy with any character. But if any one of them fails, then it's very likely that that reroll is going to give you another block, much more likely than if it was just a reroll on a normal character.
Yeah, I do agree. And I do want to highlight, too, that all of these characters we talked about that are durable are still three defense dice. They really, really hate being incinerated. They really hate anything that's going to manipulate their defense dice pools in a negative way. So keep that in mind. Like, Demons Downtown is not a crisis I ever want to play Web Warriors on for a multitude of reasons. But anyway, getting back to Daredevil, I do like Daredevil. I think he's a very welcome addition to them. If for nothing else, it gives us some more flexibility, right? We have Miles and Gwen coming in at six total. And then we need one of these four threat characters, and each one of them has kind of its own distinct role.
Yes, I think it's really cool. You can build your team more for damage output now by having Venom and Daredevil in your affiliated slots. You have four character options that are really fast, and you have four character options that are really tough. So, yeah, I think his addition is really great. And if nothing else, being affiliated lets him use the tactics cards, which is also really, really spicy.
Yeah, and we'll go over those, I think, next. But is there anything else we need to talk about Daredevil? We did him in a really recent box review. I guess this is important because Pat and I mentioned this in our Vibranium Heist thing. Daredevil is one of those characters that the more I've played him and seen him on the table, the better he feels. When I initially played him a long time ago, I was kind of meh. Reading him, he kind of reads as meh, but he's one of those characters that kind of outperforms his, he outperforms his initial glance, his initial reception every time I've gotten him on the table. So if you're kind of wishy-washy on Daredevil, but you don't have a lot of games, I really encourage you to play him a bit, you know, proxy him if you don't want to pick up the box, but I've really liked him on the table a lot more than I ever thought I would.
Yeah. Another thing that I wanted to say about him is he is the only affiliated way to get any kind of area or beam effect, right? He has an area attack. And that is pretty helpful on a lot of the crises that force you to bunch up. And Web Warriors in general don't like playing those kind of crises, but it's nice to have the option and it's nice to have a character that can play them if your opponent forces that kind of secure on you.
Yeah, and it's a weird spender, but it can be, I mean, Pat had his previous story of like the best Devil's Deliverance of all time, which will never top. But
right? Oh my gosh, I have to mention, by the way, you know, because I mentioned in the previous episode, I fought against Daredevil and he did 70 dice into my team in a single attack. You know what? He was playing in Web Warriors and he had used all webbed up and all my characters were slowed. So if Daredevil had been a Web Warrior at that point, he would have done another 10 dice. He would have done 80 dice.
That's... Yeah, there you go. So Matt Murdock, welcome addition. I really like him. Important. Yeah, he's just a solid character. It gives you some interesting modes, right? You could go Parker, Gwen Stacy, Daredevil for this super fast, annoying flanking team, right? You toss Miles in there, you're coming in with 13 threat. And when Miles Morales is your slowest character, that's a really fast team. So he's kind of a welcome addition to it. You could go Venom and Daredevil, right? For this obnoxious counter-attacking team, right? They both have ways to attack out of activations, and they're both actually pretty durable. So he's a pretty welcome addition, and I like to see Web Warriors get some love kind of right off the bat, even.
Yes. Really, really cool addition. So let's talk now about tactics cards. There's two affiliated cards, and there's also a couple of others that are for the affiliated characters. Starting with the affiliated cards, All Webbed Up has been a really spectacular card in my experience. What do you think of it?
Yeah, it's an incredible card. Just to recap, it's an active card. Any Web Warrior, which now includes Daredevil, can spend three to play it. And then enemy characters within three are slowed. And then when allied Web Warriors are attacking characters suffering the slow, they don't have to be slowed from this card, slowed anyway. You get, what, two extra dice? Yeah, yes. Two extra dice. Yep. So just... It just does so much. Like an AoE slow, right, is really powerful, right? Your opponent either has to shake that or deal with it somehow. And the fact that you're just going to be getting two dice on each attack afterwards is really powerful. We talked about all the different characters. A lot of them have ways to make attacks out of activation, Daredevil and Venom there. And then it really tunes up some of their normally kind of middling to low damage output. Getting two additional dice goes a long way.
A huge way, yeah. It makes a massive difference. And the fact that it's, in theory, going to work on a bunch of attacks over the course of the round is incredibly scary for your opponent. I found this card to be superb because it completely mitigates the big downside that the Web Warriors have in terms of damage output, and lets them have a turn that is incredibly explosive. And often in MCP, one explosive turn is all you need to get yourself far ahead and winning the game, right? I think it's just excellent. I take it in every single one of my Web Warriors teams.
Oh yeah, I definitely, it's definitely like auto include level if you think you're going to play Web Warriors. The other thing I'll say is, like, even if you aren't able to daze or KO all the characters, just having that lasting slow effect can be really, really powerful. We played a game, right, where the slow on Thor just kind of bit me in the butt for the rest of the game, and I was just never able to clear it. Like, it's a very strong effect, and don't, you know, trivialize slowing, you know, 3 to 5 enemy characters as well.
Yes. I think it's worth mentioning that one of the things that makes this card so strong is the synergy it has with Web Warriors. I already talked about the damage, but to your point there, TT, Web Warriors are so fast, it's easy to get in a position where you're hitting as many characters as possible with this effect. Way easier than it might be for a lot of other teams. You don't have to give up very much to apply it to a big chunk of the enemy team. And on top of that, I think it just, even though it isn't playing into their primary game plan, you will just have it come up that at some point in the game, you will have the power to use this. And as soon as you do, it's almost always the right call to use it.
Yeah, the last thing I want to say, Pat, is you mentioned how Web Warriors don't traditionally love to ball up, right? The threat of all webbed up a lot of times makes your opponent really think how many characters they want to dogpile in on someone, if that makes sense. Do they really want to coalesce? Or not? That's the wrong word. Really pile in on the singular point. Because again, the all webbed up turn is it's quite scary. Venom is not a nice
person. No, his Venom is spectacular with all webbed up. And it's a really good way of punishing your opponent for being aggressive against you, right? You're trying to play this game of keep away and you're not trying to attack. But if they daze one of your characters and priority flips and suddenly you're acting first next round, then you just hit that all webbed up button, right? And the character that has been ganged up on can slow all the enemy, do loads of damage, and either escape, go out in a blaze of glory, or just deal with all the characters that are facing them with the help of their teammates. I just think it's a superb card.
Yeah, I played a couple games leading up to this recently just to get some more Web Warrior games under my belt before we record this. And I actually used it once where I didn't get any of the attack bonuses out of it, but my opponent was playing too defensive. And I'm like, you know what? I'm already up in crisis. I think if I just slow them all and play cagey, I can win. And that's exactly what happened. So it's a great multi-use card, like we're saying. It's anyway, we've sung its praises enough. It's a really good card.
Yeah, it's awesome. The second affiliated card is Web Barrier. So this is the card where you draw a line between two characters within about range 3 of each other, I believe. And then those characters can't be moved. They can't be pushed or anything like that. And line of sight through the barrier is blocked for your opponent and they have to climb over it. So it is a really interesting, unique card that offers a different kind of control where you're denying your opponent the ability to see through an area, you're slowing down their movement, and you're making it so that they can't easily push your characters around.
Yeah, it's an interesting card. It also prevents places, right? So it's powerful if you have characters that you don't want to displace. We talked about a few of the more resilient characters in the affiliation. It's relatively speaking cheap, right? I think it's 1 power each from the 2 characters using it.
Yeah.
It doesn't make my 8 too often. I use it to great success in a Vibranium Heist game. It's a fun card, but for me personally, it just hasn't come up too often for me. You've played a lot more Web Warriors than I have, Pat. What do you think of the card?
I really like it, but I find it hard to make it work in a lot of the crises. And in particular, the thing that's tough is I don't think it is doing what Web Warriors want to do in their primary game plan. Because generally, Web Warriors' primary game plan is to be really mobile, control the enemy, and play on crises like, for example, D secure maps where everyone is spread out. And this card isn't kind of doing that. it is, they're kind of static for a round because as soon as you play it, they're tethered, the two characters are tethered together and they can't get too far apart. And they're blocking off a specific area of the table. And the way that I play Web Warriors, I don't usually have one area of the table that I care about that much. But having said that, I do think it's a really relevant card for particular crises. And in particular, crises like Gamma Wave, where you have really high value central points and you are going to have a couple of characters near that who you don't want to be moved and who it's really helpful to stop your opponent from moving into that Gamma Wave and, you know, protect themselves in the bunker, scoring the victory points. I think it has a place, but I think it's a bit narrow because it's not good on every crisis map.
Yeah, and I think you kind of hit it on the head there for me. It's not good on the crisis that I tend to put into my roster when playing Web Warriors, or crisis that I necessarily would be inclined to take. Because like you said, I think it fights kind of the core of how I want to approach Web Warriors. And that's really the reason it didn't make my eight. It's just I wasn't finding enough opportunities to use it, right? It's more of a reactive card if my opponent has something I really hate. So I think it's a good card. I think it's a interesting card. And I think its value is only going to continue to increase as we see more and more crises out there. But for me right now, I haven't been taking it a lot.
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't fault you for taking it, but it's harder to fit in. So then there's two cards that are not affiliated with Web Warriors, but are very strongly linked to their characters. The first of these is Lethal Protector, one that we mentioned already. And you really like this card, don't you, TT?
Yeah, I do. Yes, I'm pretty high in it. It's basically like a pseudo range bodyguard, for lack of a better word, but it does move Venom as well. It's relatively cheap to play. I think it's only 2 power. It's 2 or 3. Mm-hmm. I think it's 2 power.
It's 2.
I just really like it for just some manipulation. It helps mitigate some Venom slowness again. It's a pretty big place, right? The character has to be within 3 of Venom, and then Venom can place within 1. So we're talking about 3 plus a base size plus 1. So you can move Venom quite a bit of it. I really like Lethal Protector.
Yeah, me too. It's really hard to play around, as we already mentioned, because of Lifesaver also in the team. And I think the catapult of Venom forwards is really, really valuable. One thing I'd mention is if you have this card, it's quite important, in my opinion, to make sure that you are keeping an eye on Venom's power. And in particular, on turn 1, you may not want Venom to pick up an extract because having the option to Lethal Protector on turn 2 is really, really valuable. And that is what will give Venom that catapult forward, right? If you're using it in turn 3, it's still going to be good. But at that point, Venom has probably had to spend 2 turns walking and you lose some of the value of the mobility. But I think the card is excellent and I'm always happy to have it when I take Venom in my team. Is it the best card ever? Maybe not, but I think it's a really solid inclusion.
Yeah, I think it's a solid inclusion. And like Pat said, I mean, early you're kind of using it for additional plays. I guess later you can use it if Venom's on a glut of power to threaten the, like, we are snacks crackback, so to speak. But yeah, I think it's a good card. I think it's a card that should be pretty ubiquitous with Venom's inclusion, personally.
Yeah, me too. I agree. So the last card that I want to include here is a dual character card. It's used by Spider-Man, and that's either Spider-Man, right? So either Miles Morales or Peter Parker plus Venom. And that is Uneasy Allies. It's a card that you don't see very often. So just to remind our listeners, it lets those characters suffer damage in order for one of them to get a 3-dice damage boost on an attack. So it doesn't cost any power. It's giving you damage for free. But I have to ask, why then don't we see it?
Well, I'm going to admit, Ben, I had to look this card up. I had no idea. Like, I knew it was a card, but I didn't remember what it did. I think it's just, it only adds dice to a singular attack. I'm normally a bigger fan of like a card like Smash or something like that, or all webbed up that's going to give more kind of value to it. And I think one of the reasons we don't see it is just like the game is so wide on tactics cards right now. You're just kind of, you have so many choices there. We just talked about Web Barrier, which is situationally a very powerful card, but ultimately it just doesn't make the cut, right? And I think Uneasy Allies, like, my biggest issue with it after looking it up and reading it is the range requirement. The 2 requirement is pretty tight, especially like Pat said, like I want to take advantage of how quick everyone other than Venom is. Keeping one kind of anchored to Venom, like maybe use it on the Lethal Protector turn, but it just has a few too many qualifiers and not enough benefit for it.
Yeah. In the past on the show, we've talked about cards like 1-2 Punch, Heavy Firepower, cards that give you a couple of extra dice for a reasonably low cost. And in general, we don't like those cards, right? Because we just don't think they're powerful enough for a Team Tactics card slot. And I think Uneasy Allies is slightly better than those cards, but the restriction on it is much more severe in terms of the range requirement and needing to use two characters. And I just think it's like, it's fine, but you're gonna, there's better cards available.
Yeah, I think that's a great, it's not a bad card. It's just, there are just better options out there, right? So unfortunately, Uneasy Allies, you just don't quite make it. It's cool art, right? I mean, it's like Venom and Spider-Man beating the crap out of Carnage, which is pretty cool. So I think that's all the tactics cards, all the characters, and the affiliations. So, Pat, what do we think in general of Web Warriors? We think they have kind of a top-tier leader, right?
Yeah.
We think awesome that they leader. Have a good affiliation with top-tier level fluff associated to it. Does that sound right?
In terms of their leadership? Yeah, I think their leadership is pretty average. I mean, leaderships in general are really good. So being average doesn't mean it's bad. I think it's a good ability, but I think it's not the best. It's not the worst. It's always useful, but it's never amazing.
Yeah, I think that's pretty solid. What do you think about their list of characters? I think we both are kind of in love with them.
Yeah, I really like them. I think the list is a little bit short, right? Especially when you compare them to like Avengers, Cabal, Criminal Syndicate, right? Some affiliations have all these characters to choose from and they've only got five. And it feels especially small because those five have a lot of overlap in what they do. So you're picking from a very narrow band of ability, right? You don't have any characters that cost two. You don't have any characters that cost five or more. You don't have any mystic attacks. There's a lot of stuff that Web Warriors can't do, but what they can do is really, really good. And they're very cohesive because you're taking a lot of redundancy when you pick those characters.
So for affiliated characters, we rank them pretty highly then, it sounds like, right?
Yeah, in particular, thanks to Miles and Gwen being great and being cheap.
Yeah, and Mark did a great, GD nerd, Mark Garreau from Roster Doctor, did a great article on the Across the Bifrost Nexus. You can find that at acrossthebifrost.com, talking about your core competencies. And really what it does is it highlights the fact that them coming in at 10 threat, right, to get their affiliation is very powerful. It opens up a lot of flexibility for kind of how you want to fill out the rest of the roster. So even though you might not have the characters and affiliation you want, you coming in at 10 just gives you a lot of space to kind of grow, so to speak.
Yeah, one criticism I have of their particular composition is because they're 2-3s and 3-4s with nothing else, it's easy to have the core 10, but it's really awkward sometimes to build more expensive teams. Like it can be hard to get four affiliated characters into your squad because you have to take 2-4s and you don't have an affiliated 2. And that is especially difficult for them because they are a team who wants to be mobile, play keep away. They're a team who would really like to be 6 wide in a lot of crises, but the cost of their affiliated characters actually makes it quite difficult to play a 6 wide team in some circumstances.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that a little bit in the ACS, but I think in general, we like their affiliated characters. Their team tactics cards was a little bit harder for me to judge. I guess I'm going to be a little bit harsher on them here. They have one really good card. They have one okay card, and that's about where I'll end it, right?
Yeah, and I mean, Lethal Protector you see in a lot of Web Warriors rosters, so I think that one is worth mentioning, at least as an honorable mention.
Yeah, sorry, that was an okay card for me.
Oh, okay, I thought you meant Web Barrier.
That to me is just too situational still. I would put that personally below average just because of how situational it is. Maybe yeah. I'm being too harsh on it, but I think all no, Web Warriors is really good. Lethal Protector is a really solid, like, B-level card if we're going to assign an arbitrary grade to it. And the effect on all webbed up is really web bear is really powerful. Just it's the use cases for it is what knocks it down for me.
Yes, I think you're only including Web Barrier as a luxury card if you're playing single affiliation and you have a spare spot and you just devote it to this niche effect that you won't often use, but when you do need it, it will be good. And I agree. I'm always taking All Webbed Up. It's fantastic. And honestly, on the strength of that alone, I'm happy to say their cards are fine, because just having one really powerful affiliation card is enough for me. And it's true for most affiliations that they only have one kind of auto include choice. So I think that that puts them as kind of good enough.
Yeah, so we add all that together. What do we think, Pat? Where do you think Web Warriors falls in the hierarchy of MCP?
So great leader, fine leadership, really good affiliated characters, but a bit narrow in what they can do, and a reasonable selection of tactics cards. I think it puts them in kind of like the upper middle. And I actually think they're more than the sum of their parts, mainly because of how flexible and powerful that core 10 threat of Web Warriors is that you mentioned, the 2/3s and the 4 of your choice. I think that base for a team is so good that I personally rate Web Warriors as one of the more powerful affiliations in the game.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm going to agree with you, which I guess makes for worse content. But I think they're up there. I don't think they're the most powerful, but I think they're right there knocking at the door. I think they're very flexible. I think they're a high skill team. So I think they're one of those teams that don't get discouraged if you don't perform well in maybe your first 3 or 4 games with them. Kind of keep going for a little bit and more pieces will unlock. They don't play like another traditional affiliation. So if you don't have early success with them, just I don't want people to get too discouraged. But I like them a lot. I'm considering them. I was talking to Esmond about them for season 4 of TTS, which is coming up just in the new year. Dr. Norbert's been hard at work making events.
Yeah, I think they're a great choice. I think they're always going to be relevant. And I just wanted to reiterate something I mentioned at the start. I think they're so much fun. It's just so cool to have all of your characters zip around, be able to do interesting and dynamic things every turn, be able to move your opponent's models around and have a little bit extra luck on their side whenever they're interacting with the crisis, which is usually when you need to be the luckiest. They're so much fun to play.
Yeah, and just to dovetail off that, if you focus on the fact that sometimes they struggle to deal damage, you're probably going to have a miserable time playing them. Like, if you're one of the people, and there's nothing wrong with it, that just wants to, like, grind and throw down and make lots of attacks, I maybe would suggest you find another affiliation. But if you're someone who wants to play Crisis, who really wants to think about movement, who wants to zip around the board, who wants to be a little more reactive, I think they could be a great home for you.
Yeah, I'd also recommend them to anyone that kind of wants to level up their game at Marvel Crisis Protocol and think about the game in a different way because of exactly what you said, TT. They play so differently and they help you realize the options for how you can win the game and you don't just have to beat up opposing characters. I think it's really interesting that when you play Web Warriors, you often do not want to deal damage to your opponent with your attacks. And you are often firing off impact webbings to get one power, hoping that your damage roll is bad. And I've had situations with Web Warriors where I'm cursing myself because I've spiked damage against my opponent and my stupid impact webbing has done like 4 damage. And I've only got 1 power out of it, but they've got 4 power and now they're going to come back and punish me. And you want to play this really like low damage game where you're just moving around, scoring points and avoiding fighting.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. I mean, Pagani told me in a conversation recently that, I mean, MCP at its core is really about positioning, and playing Web Warriors will definitely make you a better positional player. It also improves your, like, situational awareness. How many more rounds do I have to go? What's the crisis score? What are my ways to win in 1 or 2 rounds? What are my opponent's ways? So, yeah, I really like them. I think they're very fun. And like I said, I'm considering playing them for season 4. I love Magneto so much. Who is the complete opposite of what they do, but that's a whole other conversation.
Well, is it? Because I'm looking at our notes for the ACS and I have Magneto written here as a potential include. So we can get onto that in just a second.
Yeah, you know what? I think that's a great segue. So everyone, thank you so much for listening. If you haven't had a chance, please check out the Across the Bifrost Nexus. It's something Pat and I created. We're not making any money off it. It's actually costing us money. So yeah, I've had a few people accuse me of just being a money grabber here, which is kind of weird. We recently integrated with MCPDB. You can find that at mcpdb.acrossthebifrost.com. Happy to keep that going. Happy to keep that updated. But basically, we're trying to just create a place for new players to go and get introduced to tons of different content. There's so much content out there. Please check out the Across the Bifrost Nexus. I wrote a blog article. There's a whole bunch of other blog articles. We have over 400 pieces of content up up there. And I think we're over almost 20 active contributors right now. So I'm really happy with the Nexus. I think, Pat, you seem to be pretty happy with it as well, right? It's continuing to grow.
Yeah, I love it. I think anyone listening to our podcast is somebody who would benefit from checking out the Nexus, because it's more content that about something you love, right? It's more content about MCP. There's podcasts, there's videos, there's blog articles. And because we have so many creators, we have multiple pieces of content going up every single day. You can subscribe to our mailing list if you want, and then you'll get an automatic notification anytime any piece of content is created. And there's more than enough to keep even the most dedicated fan happy.
Yeah, and I do want to shout out, we're actually able to kind of line up two sponsors for that who are kind of helping support our content creation on the Nexus. And then if you're in the U.S., be sure to check out discountgamesinc.com. If your local game store doesn't have what you're looking for, you can't find what you need, Discount Games Inc. is always selling Marvel Crisis Protocol at the maximum allowed discount price. That's Discount Games Inc., INC.com. And then if you're in the U.K. or I'm going to say Europe. I know it's not all of Europe. I apologize to Europe. I'm just an ignorant American. We have Blackgate Games. You can find them at blackgategames.co.uk. They have a great selection of different miniatures games, and they have a ton of MCP, the entire line. They sell them at a really reasonable discount to me. So if your local game store doesn't have it, if you're locked down and not able to get out there, be sure to check out blackgategames.co.uk. All right, Pat. Well, I had a lot of fun going through these Web Warriors. I'm looking forward to this after the credit scene. I'm looking forward to getting Web Warriors on the table more. But everyone else, thank you so much for listening. Till next time, everyone. Cheers and happy gaming.
Somewhere across the Bifrost, way up high, there's a that I've heard of once in a lullaby. Somewhere across the Bifrost skies are blue, and the dreams that you dare to dream really do come true.